Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome to the show. I'm Andy Griffin. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Monday morning. How was your weekend? Mello is here too. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. Mm-hmm. Good to see you. She got the white sweater thing. Rocking the white sweater.
Right sweater, yes. Hoping for cooler
weather. How does a mom wear a white sweater and keep that dang thing clean?
I don't have toddlers. That's the secret.
That's true. Yeah. You do have a small child, though, at 8, right?
Yeah, he's 8. He doesn't spill on me as often. I spill on myself more, actually.
On Fridays when we go out, I usually have a ball game Friday night, and I'll always wear my, you know, my official shirt, you know, radio shirt to go mm-hmm. to the ball game. And my wife's like, are you sure you want to wear that to dinner? And I'm like, why? Well, I don't want you to spill on your game shirt. And,
oh, my gosh.
But I do occasionally, but I would say it's rare.
Yeah. Whenever I wear a sweater, I remind myself of, like, Mr. Rogers. I just think of him, like, pulling a sweater out of his closet.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah. Parade of Homes wrapped up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty epic homes. One of them that I looked at was $10 million.
Oh, my gosh. Did you get to check out the one that had the double basement?
I did not.
No. I just saw the pictures of it. I didn't make it to any homes. I always get a ticket every year, and I say, I'm going to go this year. And I never make it.
and you're a realtor.
I know. Give out free tickets, but I don't get to go.
So the perception for those of us that aren't in the realty business is that Parade of Homes is the beginning of the uptick for realtors. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, I gave some tickets to my clients, and they took the tickets and they went out, and because they were out looking at all the homes, they went to another home, and we're going to probably be under contract today with one of the
nice.
Homes they saw.
So it is true. It's not just a perception.
True.
It's truth.
True to me.
Okay. Very, very cool. those that were involved with that, I'm sure a big relief to have it over just because there's so much pressure and everything. But also, like you said, kind of the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
I wonder how many of those, you know, it went from, hey, come down to Southern Utah to our Parade of Homes because you might want to buy one of these homes, to now here's the very best of the very best that we can do. If you want to buy something that's actually affordable, call us later.
The house I'm selling is not one of the multi-million dollar
homes. Yeah, no, yeah.
It's beautiful, though.
That $10 million house had a lazy river. It had two pools plus a hot tub. It had a waterfall. It was the outdoor, the outside. It actually was kind of like, and I think it was built to be short-term rental.
I think it was built
to have a lot of people come in and stay there for a week or whatever.
Yeah. I think one of them slept 46 people.
46.
Can you imagine? I don't know. For me, my goal in my life at my time is I bought a smaller house. When I bought my house, because I don't want all the kids to be able to
don't come back.
I don't want them to live. I want them to visit. And
don't let the screen door hit you on your way out because
exactly.
we're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. We've never done this before. This summer, we rented a large house up by Yellowstone,
mm-hmm.
and we are having all the kids stay in this house with us. We've never done that, and it's a little scary.
No, it's super fun. I did that a couple years ago.
Okay.
We went to Sedona.
And you had all your married kids?
All my married kids.
Wow.
All the kids got their own room.
Okay.
And then we went out and, like, saw the sights.
Down by
the day.
Sedona. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've stayed down there before. Cool place.
And then, like, we bought the food, and then everybody paid for their own room. And then we had a great time. It was great.
We decided to pay for the room, and then we haven't decided who's going to pay for the food. The original plan was to have every family take a night while
mm-hmm.
we're there and provide the food, but that doesn't account for breakfast and lunch as
right.
well. So,
right.
And we're going to be out in the boonies. We're out in the middle of nowhere, so you can't just run to the store. So we'll have to figure all that
That'll
out.
That'll be fun. I'm excited to hear how that goes.
Yeah, that is in June. And also found out we're throwing a wedding at the end of May. So
congratulations.
My daughter got engaged a few days ago. So
the one that went up to BYU?
Yeah. So she went to Chile on a mission. She went to Spain on study abroad. And now she's getting married.
That's exciting. Yeah. They say that BYU is the best place to go to find a husband.
That's true. And she had no, after, so she was pretty close to getting married before she went on a mission. That fell apart at the last minute. And in fact, he had even called and asked for my daughter's hand in marriage, and that kind of fell apart. And as it turned out, it was for the best because she's a much better person and in a much better place than she was, you know, two and a half years ago.
Yeah. So. A lot can happen in a couple of years.
Yeah. So, but it, yeah, it's going to be interesting. They are, you know, my wife keeps worrying about them. Oh, they don't have any money. How can they be married? They're going to, you know, they're both going to have to work and go to school. And I was like, honey, when we were in college, I had four jobs, four part-time jobs just to help make, and we did it. They can do it.
Yes.
And trust me, they can.
Yeah. So. Yep. Everybody can do it if they want to.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was talking with some friends last night and family members about Southern Utah and water. And, of course, a big story out today in local media about we're back into extreme drought. Even though we had the rainstorm a few days ago, it did not alleviate. In fact, the snowpack's almost melted already, I know.
So.
But they were talking, well, if they just let people keep building, then we're going to run out of water.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, these are the same people, friends of mine, that are like, I'm like, I mean, they're constitution. They're like, it's, you know, America. You own land. You do what you want with your land type people. And then they're sitting there saying, well, and I'm they're maybe going to get mad at me when they hear this, but I'm just like, I didn't say anything. I just kept my mouth shut and let them talk. But I was like, What would you do then? What is your proposal then to get them to stop building here?
Right.
And do you have
no. And then the other side of that coin is for the more condensed housing where they can put like apartments or they can put townhomes. And everybody, they call them NIMBYs, which is not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Right. But the people I want in my backyard are my kids and my grandkids. And I want those affordable places for them to be able to live. So I'm all for the growth and getting more people here. But we do need to be wise about our water. But I think that our Water Conservancy District has done an excellent job.
I agree.
In creating new places for the water to be held and really making it work for everybody. I think they've done a really good job.
It's easy to be skeptical and say, yeah, but we're going to run out. The water guys are like, look, we've got a 20-year plan. We've got projects to make sure we don't run out of water.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, a lot of the quote-unquote environmentalists are trying to make it so we can't make it, you know, with all these 2,000-page reports on, I mean, the Lake Powell pipeline, there was a few dissenters, but there was also this I think he said it was 1,600-page environmental report about about what species might be harmed by this water pipeline.
So funny. What about people that need to drink water, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's always been a problem that I've had with environmentalists is they seem to, I understand wanting to stick, I mean, once a species goes extinct, it never comes back. That's it. It's over. But we have humans. What about people? People need to live. People.
Mm-hmm.
And whether environmentalists like it or not, and zero population, humans, we're growing. There are more people than there ever has been in the world. We need places to live and water to drink and things like that.
And the people that are building, they are paying for that opportunity. They're paying those impact fees, and those aren't cheap.
And there are new rules. You can, you know, the amount of grass you can have in a new build. And I think, like you said, I think the Water Conservancy District, and by the way, Zach will be on Wednesday, I think they're doing a good job of making the people that are the builders and the people that are moving in understand that you have to be responsible with the water that you're going to use.
Yeah. So I think they're doing it in a thoughtful and concerned way for the future.
I believe so, too. But there are people that completely disagree with you and I. So that's the way it goes sometimes.
That's okay.
There are a couple of stories on the 890kdxu.com website I wanted to point the folks to. One of them is called Treat Yourself with This Utah Scenery and Slice Trip. Now, the folks over at visitutah.com wrote an article. The author's name is only Matcha, M-A-T-C-H-A. I don't know who that is. Or it's a pseudonym, obviously. But they wrote a great story about a great road trip that includes a stop for piece of pie.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say.
Yeah, no, it's a pie road trip. So stop number one was Of course, Vail Pies. Yes. That's where you stop to get your first pizza pie, piece of pie. And so you go from Vail Pies and the incredible scenery at Snow Canyon State Park. Of course, you've got Gunlock that's close there. And when the falls are going there, I don't know if there's anything prettier in the world when the falls are going at Gunlock. But anyway, so yeah, you start at Vail. Stop number two is the homemade pies at Thunderbird Restaurant out in Carmel, Mount Carmel Junction.
I have not been there.
Now, it's funny because they play up the H-O, homemade, right? Like the waitresses are hoes or whatever.
No.
But the origin of the name was the sign wasn't big enough for the word homemade. So they just cut out the words M-E and put a hyphen in there. And it's homemade. And then, of course, as society developed what ho might mean, So, but I've had homemade pie from Thunderbird Junction. It's excellent. It is really good. In fact, they have something called the Huckleberry Pie that may just bring tears of joy to your eyes when you eat, especially if you throw a piece of warm or a cold vanilla ice cream on the warm pie. It's amazing. All right, stop number three. So we went Snow Canyon State Park over to Zion. Now we're going to go up to Bryce. There's a restaurant there called Bryce Canyon Pines Restaurant. Now they have something called the sour cream raisin pie. I am not a raisin fan.
Ew, no.
But it has something, and you know, sour cream is a weird. Do you like sour cream?
I actually like it in desserts. I made a frosting last week with sour cream that was really good and really rich.
It does not really offer a lot of extra flavor, but it offers a consistency sour cream does. So, so this pie, you know, you can pick the raisins out. It has sour cream custard in it.
That sounds good.
It's pretty amazing. And by the way, Well, I'll get to the other sour cream pie I like. And I don't put sour cream on my Mexican food. I don't like it, but.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So, and then we go from Bryce over to Capitol Reef at a place called the Gifford House. They serve up all their fruit pies warm and with a dollop of vanilla ice cream.
Okay.
And apple pie there. And then finally the last stop in a town called Bicknell, which is out there in the kind of east central side of Utah in amongst all the national parks. But there's a restaurant called Sun Glow Cafe. This is the only one I haven't had a pie at, the Sun Glow Cafe. I have not been to here, the Sun Glow Cafe, but they serve something called a pickle pie.
Oh.
I know what you're thinking. I'm a little bit nervous about it too, but also intrigued. Matcha describes the pie as tangy mincemeat texture flavored with hints of cinnamon and allspice. If you're not brave enough to try the pickle pie, they also have buttermilk pie and oatmeal pie as well. So, and then, of course, you come all the way home from your road trip and stop at Croshaw Pies.
Yes, my dad loves Croshaw Pies.
They're not paying me to say this. I just know Coach Croshaw, and I love their pies. So good.
Banana cream. That's my favorite.
They have something called the Black Bottom Pie with the Oreo crust.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I used to do a show every Sunday with Coach Croshaw, a sports show over on the sports station, and he'd always bring me a pie.
Really?
And I got addicted to Croshaw pies. Well, what would happen is, you know, because he was part owner, I think he still is. I don't know if he still is, but because he was part owner, when they would get to the end of the week, our show was on Sunday nights, he would pop in Saturday night, whatever pies they had left over for the week, he would stick in the trunk of his car, and of course, then he'd show up at the show, and it was like a drug dealer. You know, let me open the trunk. Which one do you want, man? Which one do you want? You know, I gotta have a fix, man. I gotta have a Croshaw pie fix, but I got to pick whatever pies there were.
How fun!
Very cool. So anyway, that's the pie road trip. You can read a little bit about it on my story on 890kdxu.com. There's also a link on there to the visitutah.com article from Matcha about the pie road trip. That sounds fun.
That makes it sound really fun.
Yeah. Of course, I would recommend, if you don't want to gain weight eating all that pie, you go on hikes on each of those stops.
Right.
You know, and get out and walk around a little bit and stuff. So, in a little while, I think after the weather break, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened at the end of the BYU-Arizona game. It has nothing to do with sports, except for it was at a sporting event, but we'll talk about that a little bit. Apparently some things were said, not very nice things, and not by just one person at the end of that game involving the University of Arizona. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Right now I want to talk about school resource officers. Do you know what an SRO is?
Yeah, I remember when we got one when I was in high school. They like roam the halls and make sure nobody's being dumb.
Police officer in a school, It was National SRO Day, I think, last Thursday, something like that. And so I got to know one of the SROs. He was the Snow Canyon High School SRO. His name was Travis Brown. Great guy. Incredible personality. Very outgoing. And the kids absolutely loved him. They thought he was... And I got thinking about the... I don't know what's the word. The conflict that these police officers have to go through because... He becomes, he is just, you know, as an SRO, you become really tight and really good friends with all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you got to break up a fight. Every once in a while, you have to arrest a kid because he's got a weapon or drugs or whatever. And this poor police officer has to put his feelings aside, which I know police officers do anyway, but has to put his feelings aside and arrest this young person. And how heartbreaking that must be.
Yeah, that's hard. But I think it's also good for them to be there so that there's a better attitude towards the police officers because they see them as real people, not just as an authority that is out to get them.
Well, it got me thinking about parenthood, right? I mean, we want to be best friends with our kids, don't we? Right?
I've made that mistake before. Yeah.
But kids need discipline. Mm-hmm. And you're finding out now. It's a lot harder if you didn't after a while, and then all of a sudden you are.
Right.
You know, you've got to move out now. What, Mom? I like living here for free.
All right, let's go to lunch. You want to buy?
You buy, yeah. You buy, Mom. Hey, I'd like that coat. Do you have any money, Mom? Yeah. Can I have your credit card?
It's like having a really broke rich friend.
I'll buy you something with your money.
Yeah.
So... but the same kind of thing. Sometimes you, and you know, you might hear things. I remember as a parent, you might hear things like, I hate you, or why are you so mean, or why are you meaner than my friend's parents, and why do we have these stupid rules, and all these things. And I can tell you, number one, that stuff will pass. They're not going to hate you forever. They're not going to, that stuff, they'll get over that. And number two, they really, really need some boundaries. They really do. You know, and I know, you know, I went through with one of my sons about the cell phone and, you know, not taking it in his room and docking it in the kitchen overnight and stuff like that. And eventually he moved out, you know, because he was mad at me. And that was hard. But I think we, both my son and I, learned some lessons there.
Yeah.
And, you know, like it or not, sometimes you've got to be the bad guy.
I know. I just tell him, I'm like, oh, you're mad at me? That means I'm doing a good job. Thank you.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I'm like, that's fine.
All right. Story about SROs on 890KDXU.com. One more story about Utah being a trendsetter. Now, Mello, you're into the fashion scene a little bit.
Not really.
Not really. No. Okay. But if you were to look around, you say, okay, clothes. Who's setting trends when it comes to how you dress? Probably New York, L.A., Paris. So not Utah.
TJ Maxx.
Yeah. electronics. Who's setting trends in electronics? Well, probably starts in Silicon Valley and I almost said Silicon Valley. That's a whole different thing. Silicon Valley. But Utah is a trendsetter in one area. Do you know what it is?
Is it hair extensions?
Well, no.
Botox.
No. It's actually the trend that is now sweeping the nation called dirty sodas.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
old
that
news.
Started here.
Yeah.
But it is now sweeping nation. In fact, so I have a friend down in Texas, and he and his wife were so excited because they're LDS, so they don't drink alcohol or coffee. They opened a Swig in his town, and he is so pumped. He's like, this is a drive-through soda, and I can get a dirty Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
He was so excited about it. And it is, I'm like, you know, Swig is a Utah company. He goes, yeah, I heard that. But he says, I just figured it was, you know, some L.A. investor. No, it's actually invented by a woman right here in Utah. And, now we have, I mean, gosh, we have Fizz and Swig and Quench, and I don't know,
there's Pop, there's so
Pop,
many.
Yeah, a whole bunch of them are around town. But when you think of Utah and setting trends, you go, not really. We're kind of following. In fact, the joke when I was in high school was, oh, it's happening in LA, it'll be in Utah in 20 years.
That's true. Yeah, my friends came out from the East Coast in Delaware, and he loved Waffle Love. And he also loved the soda shops, and he's been looking at a place in Delaware that he can open up like his own little soda shop because he thinks it's such a fabulous idea.
Do it. Well, you know, the lady that invented Swig, and I forget her name now, but she said that she thought of the idea. She was sitting in the parking lot of Maverick waiting for her husband to pick something up, and she saw guy after, mostly guys, but mm-hmm. not just guys, person after person go in, get a soda, get back out, get in their car and drive away. And she's like, huh, maybe I should start a shop that sells just soda pop.
Yep. Nicole Tanner, that's her name.
Oh, wait, I look it up. Mm-hmm. You are on it.
On it, like Blue Bonnet.
Yeah. Or isn't that a plague? Oh, no, bubonic plague.
No,
yeah.
Blue Bonnet, like I know. The butter.
I know. I don't like Blue Bonnet. All right, let's get a weather break. And when we come back, we will talk about the word racist or racism and how that has become all too common, not being racist, but talking about being racist. And then what happened at the BYU game at the end of the game. BYU beat Arizona down in Tucson by 1 point, and the fans did not take it well. We'll talk about that when we come back. Right now, let's check weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Mello's here as well. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. I actually had a guest scheduled for today, but things fell through. It happens with guests, and fortunately, Mello's hanging out with me, so mm-hmm. we get to talk a little bit. So, Mello, Saturday, BYU went to Tucson, Arizona, played the 19th-ranked Arizona Wildcats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had just beaten Kansas, who was ranked like 22 or something, and Arizona ranked 18th. So you're like, hey, this if they could somehow get a win, this would be huge. Well, mm-hmm. plus Arizona a month ago had beaten BYU handily in Provo, and so you're like, well, probably not going to happen. But
mm-hmm.
BYU played pretty well, ended up coming away with the win. A lot of people are like, well, was that a foul at the end? BYU player got fouled with 3 seconds left, made the free throws for them to win by 1 point. Okay, that's the ball game part of it. Now the drama, right, beyond the ball game. During the course of the game, and especially after the controversial ending, the Arizona student section started chanting a word that starts with the letter F, the Mormons, blank the Mormons, blank wow. the more over and over and over again. They also threw a few things and started using some homophobic slurs
really?
To the BYU. And so it turned into this fiasco enough that the University of Arizona athletic director issued a public apology and a personal apology to the BYU program, saying this is not who we are. We're sorry. That this never should have happened, et cetera, et cetera. But it's kind of funny the reaction, after the fact. First of all, the reaction by BYU, everything I've read, and I read a bunch of stuff on this, most of the BYU players, fans are like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is water off a duck, right? Just right. let it roll
They're
off
just
your
mad.
Mouth. Don't worry about it. BYU's happy they won, and that's all that matters. And yet, there are people, this happens a lot. There are people who are in up in arms for BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying BYU shouldn't be unhappy about what happened with the chant and all that stuff. That's terrible. But on the other hand, we've gotten so sensitive, right? We've gotten so, I'm offended. And I think that a lot of the BYU fans and players are like, don't worry about it. It's stupid. Don't do it again. But big deal,
mm-hmm.
not a big deal. But this was really interesting. So there's a group called the Jewish Federation of Utah. Now, if you'll remember, BYU's quarterback during the football season was a Jewish guy, Jake Retzlaff,
mm-hmm.
right? So BYU has developed a little bit of a relationship with the Jewish community because even though it's a school sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they have a Jewish quarterback. So anyway, the Jewish Federation of Utah, I think it's called, issued a statement. And basically they said, it's reprehensible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just basically being offended on behalf of BYU. It cracks me up a little bit. It's like, if we're not that offended, if we're not upset about it, why is everyone else getting upset about it?
I don't know. I think that's great that there's another organization that kind of has the LDS community's back. Because
I do too. But on the other hand, if you think about the history of the LDS Church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that the history of Jewish people isn't more perhaps more perhaps picked on, but the history of the church, I mean, you know, extermination order in Missouri, right? Mm-hmm. Coming out west and you know, the Hans Mill massacre leading to the Mountain Meadow massacre, mm-hmm. the Utah Army, and I mean, all this stuff is, we're kind of used to being picked on. And I don't know about you, but like, whatever, Arizona student section, bunch of stupid 19-year-old guys who just right. got beat. They're mad, right?
Right.
I'm not upset. I don't care. Anyway, this is the statement from the United Jewish Federation. It says, we express deep concern and disappointment over the derogatory chants directed at Brigham Young University and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints during the recent basketball game against the University of Arizona. Such incidents are unacceptable and have no place in our society. They not only harm the targeted community, but also undermine the principles of respect and unity that bind us together. In times like these, it is imperative for all communities to stand together against hate and bigotry.
No, I think that they're in the right to, like, censure those students. But how can Arizona State prevent something like that? It's kind of like a mob mentality. Like, I was so angry during that game that I had to leave and couldn't watch the last bit because I felt like BYU was getting really bad calls put on them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they probably just felt the same way when there was a bad call in the favor of BYU, which was kind of, I thought, fair when I heard about the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So I do understand, yes, you should censor them, but like when everybody's in a big group and they're like, yeah, to heck with you guys, you know, like yelling that kind of stuff because they're mad, it's just kind of that mob mentality and you kind of get in that flow, and I don't know how they could prevent that, honestly.
So about a week ago, BYU played Kansas, and BYU beat Kansas. It was a big win for them. But after the game, Bill Self, who was a coach of Kansas, said, this atmosphere is what college basketball should be like. They were classy. They were loud. They were devoted. They were ardent. They were cheering for their team, but they were not abusing our players. Mm-hmm. You see, you go to somewhere like Duke or Kentucky, some of those other places, you got fans that, I don't know if you heard about this, but it was maybe 3-4 years ago, a Duke player got, somebody had looked up his social media account and taken a bunch of pictures of him and had his girlfriend's name and had his home phone number.
No.
I mean, they had signs with his home phone number saying, text this guy, whatever. He actually ended up having to change his number and change his handle on Twitter and Insta.
Really?
And because that's what dumb students do sometimes. But to hear that, you know, even after a tough defeat that like Kansas took last week, for the coach to say, you know what, it was a tough defeat, and we didn't play well, and this is horrible, but you know what? This is a great place to play basketball. This was a great atmosphere.
That's good to hear.
It's good to hear. And I wish we could say the same about the folks in Tucson at the University of Arizona game, because it wasn't, it might have been a great atmosphere for a while, but when they started chanting F the Mormons, that's crossing a line.
Yeah, maybe it's just an opportunity for BYU to be the example, right? Like, showing you this is how you win. And then this is, if you win like this, you don't have to yell things back. You don't have to, you can turn the other cheek, so to speak.
But what, I mean, you mentioned the mob mentality, the student section, bunch of knuckleheaded 18 to 21-year-olds, probably drunk, some of them, mm-hmm. or a lot of them in Tucson. What can be done? You can't grab each individual out of the stands and say, you're out of here, you're banned, can you?
I don't know. That's going to have to be like a big thing where they're talking about it and trying to figure out how to control that. Maybe they're going to have to limit. They could probably go in and see who those students were that were chanting that, and they could be not allowed to attend 2 or 3 games. That's probably what I would do.
That's
just
a good point.
Ban them from the next one.
There is a statement when you buy a ticket to any athletic event, there is a statement that says, I will not behave in X amount, these certain behaviors, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like when we signed a EULA, an end user licensing agreement, when we buy
bottom.
A movie or a video game. Nobody reads that.
No.
Nobody's looking at that. So, what can be done? I don't know. I think, as you mentioned, BYU setting a good example on their home games by not being abusive. And number two, I mean, with all due respect to our Jewish friends for standing up for us, I think we need to not be offended by this stuff so that it's like a toddler who screams to give his toy back. You give that toy back, he's going to do it every single time after that.
Yeah.
If you let Arizona know that was hurtful and mean, guess what's going to happen next time?
Well,
they're going to do it again.
I disagree. I think that kind of publicly embarrassing them from another organization that isn't. I think if the LDS community had come out and said, 18-year-old
kid cares what the Utah Jewish Federation says?
No, but I think the school, Arizona school, cares about their image and being censured by another organization, not the ones that they were offended. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that that does speak volumes. So yay for the Jewish community for stepping up. I think that's good.
By the way, the AD for Arizona said, quote, "The chant is not reflective of who we are and should not have happened." He just signed a 5-year contract, this guy, so he's obviously scrambling.
Yeah.
He said, blink, the Mormons should never have happened in our arena. But,
no.
I don't know. I'm not offended. Maybe I should be. I'm a Mormon, as they call them, and I like BYU. And them saying that is like, yeah, you cross a line, but I choose not to. I'm not going to go around going, oh, I hate Arizona now because they're a bunch of bigots.
No, I choose not to be offended as well. But yeah. I think that if other people are going to step up for you, I think that is helpful, and that's a good way to have that relationship stronger between the Jewish coalition too. So I think it's good.
Another segment of kind of the same topic, racism, is the amount of frequency that the word racists or racism was used in U.S. media, from TV to newspapers. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. You'll be shocked at the exponential rise of those words in articles in things like the New York Times, the L.A. Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, etc. We'll talk about that after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. It's 9:48 on KDXU. Melody Finlinson is also here in the house. Hi, Melody.
Good morning.
If you want to call, 673-5890. We're late in the hour, so you need to call now, 673-5890. If you want to text in, you can text me at 435-467-5842. And we're going to secure some more prizes for you to give away on the show. We don't have any today, but article I wanted to refer everyone to, I don't really have time to talk a lot about it, but the article is on Freeman's Perspective, Freeman's, freemansperspective.com. The title of the article is You're Already Rich. And the gist of the article, like I said, I'm not going to talk about it much. The gist of it is when you think about everything that you have, even if you don't have a lot of money. In fact, they tell a story about a guy who says, oh, I'm in debt up to my ears for this, and this. And he says, yeah, but you have a wife and kids and a house to live in and a car to drive, and you're pretty rich, right? So anyway, check it out. You're Already Rich by Paul, I forget his last name. He's Paul Rosenberg. There you go, the guy that runs Freeman's Perspective. Pretty good. All right, the other article that kind of caught my eye was an article. The title is America's Witch Hunt for Racism Gonna End. And they did a study. This was fascinating to me. They did a study of the use of the word. There are three words: racist, racists with an S, and racism. And how often they were used in America's media. They did this study. They did some TV station stuff, but mostly this was done on newspapers. Did you know in 2010, so 15 years ago, the word racist, racists, or racism was used, about 20 times a month.
Okay.
In New York Times. 20 times a month, that means maybe once every, twice every 3 days, right? That word was used. Last month, the New York Times used the words either racist, racist with an S, or racism 190 times last month.
Jeez.
So in 15 years, we went from barely seeing the word, and quite frankly, a lot of people that racist, that means you called somebody with different color skin, they're like, I'm not sure how to define that completely. To now it is ubiquitous. It's in just about every, you think about that, 190 times a month. That means that six to seven times a day, those words are used. And basically it's telling us, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You are racist is what it's saying.
I know. I remember when I went to college when I go, like 2014 to 2016, I went back to school to get my degree. And I was in a class, and he was essentially telling the class that you are racist simply for being white. You don't understand your white privilege.
White privilege, yeah.
And they're trying to convince
everyone.
That was
everyone.
When? That was in 2014, 2015. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And I was, and there's a, it's a whole class. Like, I'm an older student, right? There's a whole class of young kids, and they're teaching them, hey, you are racist because you're white. Mm. You don't understand everything you have. And so what they're doing is they're causing this division by trying to pit white people against themselves for not being black. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just such a sad, sad way that they're discussing things to try and, I feel like it's causing division, not causing less racism.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. So I have a friend, he's a black man, his name is Max, and Max came on the show once, this was maybe two, three, four months ago, and said, I can tell you this right now as an adult black male, he says, there's never been a time ever in the history of the United States that's better to be a black man than right now. He said, I've never experienced racism. He's 26 years old, never experienced racism, don't feel discriminated against. In fact, if anything, the way society is set up, I actually am offered some accesses to things that I wouldn't have if I wasn't black.
Yeah,
he said, I'm actually getting favors. I'm getting extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I said, mm-hmm. I talked to him off the air, and he probably wouldn't want me talking about this. I said, what about the ladies? He goes, oh yeah, there's a lot of really, really good looking women who are interested in me because I'm a black man.
What, really?
Yeah. I'm like... He said, I'm not blind. He said, I know there are certain girls that wouldn't go out with me because I'm black. And that's their problem, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but there are certain girls that want to go out with me because I'm a black man. It's an interesting, interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah.
But the idea that we are racist simply by being white is unbelievable to me.
And it is.
Because I've been covering athletics for 30 plus years, I've been around many, many, many people of different races, from Polynesians to Hispanics in baseball, especially to black people to, or African American, if you want to call them that.
Mm-hmm.
Although most of them have never actually been to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That's like calling me a Dutch American, even though, because I have Dutch heritage. But, and honestly, people are people, right? Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's, last night, so our dinner party was supposed to start at 5:30 last night, and my dad showed up early. He thought it was at 5, so he showed up early, and I was sitting in my office watching the old movie Driving Miss Daisy with Morgan Freeman and Jessica Tandy. And she played Miss Daisy.
Okay.
And Jessica Tandy, it was a Jewish woman, and of course Morgan Freeman's a black man playing her driver. And it was in the, you know, it started, I think, in the 40s in the South, but ended up, you know, through the 60s and 70s. And we know what happened with racism and stuff in the 60s and 70s. But at one point, Morgan Freeman, as the driver, is driving Jessica Tandy and Miss Daisy, I forget the, Hoke, I think, was the driver's name. Anyway, driving her on Sunday to the Jewish synagogue, the Jewish temple. And they got in this big line of cars and sat there for a long time. And finally, Hoke gets out and goes to talk to a policeman to find out why the holdup. And someone had bombed the Jewish temple.
Oh, no.
And Hoke told the story. And we have 5 minutes left, so I got time for a little story. He told the story. He says, you know, I had a best friend when I was a kid. And we did everything together. And he says, I remember one Sunday we're sitting around, we're throwing rocks into a lake. And my buddy's dad was with us and he was watching us throw rocks. And he said, oh, you both are going to be ball players. You have good arms. I can't wait for the future to see what you guys are going to be. And he said the next day, his best friend's dad was hanging from a tree with his hands tied behind his back.
Mm-mm.
And it was 1966 or whatever in America. And he said, you know, he was hanging there like that and we had to deal with it and it was racism. And Miss Daisy said, why would you tell me this story? That's the worst thing I've ever heard. Why are you telling me the story? And he said, well, he says, there's people out there that bomb synagogues and hang black men for no reason except for that there's hate in their hearts. They're
That's
evil.
True. Mm-hmm.
And he said, you needed to learn. And she didn't want to hear it, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, this is different. This is not, but it's the same thing. There are people out there with hate in their hearts.
Yeah.
and to do those kinds of things. It's heartbreaking, mm-hmm. and it's sad about our country, but it's sad about the whole world. And I will say this, having been to, you know, I've been to a few different countries around the world now. America is less racist than pretty much every other country I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to, you know, for people to point fingers at you and I because we're white and we have white privilege, no, we're mm-hmm. actually trying very hard to understand people of other races and creeds and religions mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah.
And it just boggles my mind sometimes for them to think that the U.S. is the most racist country in the world, because right. I firmly believe U.S. is the least racist country right. in the world.
I just believe that race was politicized and they were trying to cause division so they could secure the black vote.
Yeah.
And I think that they were like, no, watch, we're looking out for you. And I watched a video the other day, and it was a black man, and he's like, if you look back in history, it's the Democrats who didn't want the blacks to have the right to vote.
Yeah.
It's the Democrats who wanted to keep slaves. It's the Democrats that were doing all these things while they're saying, we've got your back. They really didn't. It was Republicans who had their back.
Do you remember what Joe Biden said when he was running against Trump the first time?
He said too many awful things.
Yeah, well, yeah. One of them was, If you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
That's right. He did say that to somebody.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because they believe they have that vote. But there's a lot of people that are black that are coming out against the Democratic Party because they've been used as pawns. And it's been really divisive with race. So I really hope we can get past this, because we're all just people. We're all just trying to get along. And it shouldn't even be looking at race. It doesn't even cross my mind to look at race, and then it's just so blatantly yelled about and talked about, they're trying to cause that division, which makes me sad.
Even Rodney King said after the riots, Rodney King is the one that got mm-hmm. beat up and by some white police officers, mm-hmm. but even he said when the riots were going on, he said, "Can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
You know, there's no need for this. Why are people of my race in my neighborhood? Why are they looting stores?" And the irony, perhaps, of the looting stores is they're looting stores of people, black people who live in their neighborhood.
Right. Why is stealing any answer to that kind of problem?
All right. Final minute. Did want to mention coming up this week, tomorrow, St. George Police Department canine officers are going to be on. Now, I don't think they're going to let the dogs talk, but I think the officers will talk. Also, we will hear from Zach Renstrom on Wednesday about the water situation. Also on Thursday, trying to get Rick Rosenberg, the Santa Clara mayor, on. He has announced he is not running for re-election in November. Mm-hmm. I know that seems like a long way away now because it's February, but it's not that far away, and Santa Clara will be looking for a new mayor. So we'll talk to Rick about his decision to not run again and more. I think you're going to be here, right, Thursday?
Yep, I'll be here Thursday and Friday.
Well, hopefully we can get Rick in here as well. Mello, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I know it's been a rough week for you, but mm-hmm. a weekend for you, but I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Andy Griffin Show. Be back tomorrow with the St. George Police Department. We'll talk to you then.